phoned up and they said, hey, we're going to be in the region. Can we come and see what God is doing? And they came, and over the years they've been just concerned and praying and just interested in the life that God has been bringing about here. So Ken, you're a friend, but you're a kingdom man. Ken is not a pastor. He's a pomologist. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He has his PhD in orchard science. So he's a marketplace elder, because Ken and Lynette have been brought onto eldership at Redemption Point. But he's a man that you can sense the gentleness of Christ in. So I believe God has spoken to him, and I believe we're going to be blessed. So it's just wonderful to have you guys. So over to you, Ken, as the Lord leads you and puts forth to the word.
Cool. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Sandy. Good to be with you guys this morning. You know, it's just, it reminds me, I think when I planted a church in Zimbabwe, it was a while ago, I can't remember, but it was in a school, it was in a country village of about the same size as Cardigan, Masterton area, same kinds of people. We were dairy farming. And so just driving through this region and seeing the people, seeing the activities, walking in here on yesterday evening as we set up, it just reminded me of, you know, being here before. Like you guys, we've set our chairs before, we've cleaned the toilets, we've swept up afterwards, you know, all of that stuff to bring the gospel to the community that we're living in, and it's such a privilege to do that, you know, to be part of what you guys are doing, and we really are, we feel part of what you guys are doing, because you know, we pray for you guys, we catch up with you guys, and we know some of you guys now, you know, it's great. We saw some of you up in Auckland a few months ago, and it's just great to be part of that. You got anything to share next? No. Always good to check with your wife. She's got something to share. How's everybody doing? Good. You're allowed to feedback to me. You're allowed to talk to me as we go through the preach this morning. I want to talk this morning about how faith works. And in particular, I might take those off because then I can see both you guys over what I've written here. In particular, I want to talk about one scripture, one verse that we'll get to, that a lot of the rest of scripture points to, that tells us about how faith works. So we're going to go through quite a bit of scripture this morning. For those of you that are taking notes, we're going to be, and want to have a look at it a bit more in detail afterwards or later. We're going to be working in Hebrews 11, obviously. We're going to be working in Galatians 3, Genesis 15, and some of these scriptures will come up during the talk. Thanks, guys. Am I in the way?
No.
And then Romans. Romans 3 and 4 and 9 and 10. We'll also be looking at that. So, you know, we often think about faith in the context of, I just want to set my stopwatch going so I don't go away over time. Although we are talking about faith, so I hope you guys don't have anything else planned for the day or for the week. Right? You know, we often think about faith in the context of salvation. Faith is important for salvation. But so we are saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith. But also, we walk by faith. We receive the Spirit by faith. And the Spirit works miracles amongst us by faith. We are children of God through faith. And then in Hebrews 11, we are commended for faith. We understand by faith. Have you ever thought of that? we're faced with challenges or problems, the understanding comes through faith. We are righteous by faith. We please God with faith. We go by faith. We overcome by faith. We see the future by faith. Have you ever thought of that? We see into the future by faith. We receive miracles by faith. And this morning, quoting from 11:32, Hebrews 11:32, what more can we say? We don't have time this morning to talk about Gideon and Barak, Jephthah, about David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised to them, who through faith shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Their weakness through faith was turned to strength. They became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead and raised to life again, all through faith. That's great stuff. But how about this? There were others that were tortured for their faith, refusing to be released that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers, flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, sword in two, killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated for faith. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves, in holes in the ground, and these were all commended for their faith. First bit's pretty flash. Now it's shutting the eyes of lions and doing battle and that kind of thing. I'm not sure if I'm too keen on this bit here, but that's what comes with, you know, you sign up for the whole thing. You don't just sign up for half of it. So faith is a big deal, and it's not only about our salvation, but it's about everyday life. We have to be a people of faith. So that's all very good then, but then what is faith? So Hebrews 11 says that, and this is not the critical scripture, I said we would get to a key scripture in the beginning. This is not it. I'll tell you when we get there. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, confidence in hope, and it's the assurance about what we don't yet see. Confidence and hope and assurance about what we don't see. It's complete trust or confidence in something or someone. And it's almost always attached to a future event, something that hasn't happened yet. Faith is not the same as hope. Faith has confidence attached to it. Both are important, but faith is not the same as hope. And faith doesn't have to see to believe. Gosh, this is quiet. Faith has an object, it's a response to something. So, okay, let me tell you a story about what faith isn't. So we have to wind back the clock a little bit to Lynette and I were just recently married, probably about 6 months married, probably Christians for a year and a half or something, and it must have been a long weekend or something, and we went up. Lynette comes from Zimbabwe, I come from South Africa. We headed up the east coast of Natal to a game reserve called Mkuzi Game Reserve. Anybody, there's some recognition here? Anybody else? No? Yeah, some people know where Mkuzi Game Reserve is. So we disappeared out of work, probably took a couple of hours off, snuck out early. But it was quite a long drive, I think it was 5 hours, and we got there to the gates just as the sun was setting, you have to get into the gates before sunset. And we snuck down into the campsite. The campsite's just near the gate, so it's not too difficult. Getting dark. So we, first order of business, set up the tent, because you don't want to be setting up the tent in the dark. Second order of business, we need a fire, because we need to eat, and dinner's barbecue. Problem with the fire, though, is that we haven't brought firewood. We forgot the charcoal. And you're not allowed to collect wood national park, in the campsite, or anywhere in the park. First problem. Second problem, that there isn't any firewood in the campsite anyway, because being South Africa, everybody's been collecting it. So we've got a bit of a challenge. Anyway, the campsite's kind of copses of bush, and people are camped in them. Around there probably about half a dozen other families or something, and we found a little patch. And these little groups of bush. Anyway, I'm wandering around trying to look for firewood, but I've got to do it on the sly because, you know, I'm supposed to be doing it. In the middle of one of these little clumps of bush, there's a good-looking tree, you know, old dead thorn tree. Some decent branches at the top. There's nothing at the bottom of the tree, of course, because everybody's been collected, has collected that already. So I think, okay, I've got to try and get those branches off, collect a couple of rocks. It's just getting dark. And I lob a rock at the branch. Of course, has no hope of hitting the thing. And it comes crashing down into the bush right next to this other campsite. And everybody jumps around, because there's no fence around the game park. So you've got wild animals in and out the whole time. So everybody jumps and looks at the bush. And they're kind of eyeing me out a little bit, like, you know. And I'm kind of, nothing to see here, people. I'm just on my own. Anyway, then a young Christian, I think, okay. What's the model? There must be a model in scripture that I can use to do this. And I think, oh, I know what it is. It's Jericho. Those people marched around Jericho. And then, oh, but it was for 7 days. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we're going to do that. Okay. Maybe just 1.5 times. Oh, but they also let out this loud shout, didn't they? And I really don't want to do that. Maybe just this quiet shout could work. So I wander around for 1.5 rounds, and nothing happens. All right, I must have got it wrong. Lord, what's the next? Oh, there's another model. I know what the model is. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly realms. He gets to walk on water and command water to turn into wine. I can just command that branch to fall off, can't I? Of course, that's the obvious thing to do. But I need a bit more faith. And then I'm going to up the stakes a little bit. I'm actually going to tell that branch to come on, or to drop off. So wandering around, kind of cranking myself up there. And I command the branch to fall off. And you won't believe what happened. Nothing. And as far as I know, it's still up there. And I don't know what happened. We had dinner because we... still alive, so something must have happened. I can't recall the rest of the story, but that's a great example of how faith, of what faith isn't, and how it doesn't work. Because apart from anything else, I mean, God is not just like some cosmic vending machine where you slot in some stuff and out pops your can of whatever you need. Or C.S. Lewis put it, he's not a genie that you rub the kettle and the genie pops out and you ask for, he gives you your wish and then kind of disappears back into the kettle until you need him again. God's not like that. That's not how he operates. So then, of course, the question then was, how does faith work? Well, let's put that on the side burner for a while. I'll come back to it. And ask you, what is humanity's problem? In the spiritual realm, what is humanity's problem? And you'll say sin. Sin is the disconnect between ourselves and God, the thing that separates us. And you'd be right, but look at this scripture. This is 1 John chapter 1. John says, "This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and don't live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin." So here's the sin word. "If we claim to be without sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify, look at this, and purify us from unrighteousness. So technically, the problem is unrighteousness. Sin causes unrighteousness. God is the righteous one, and unrighteousness and righteousness can't exist in the same place at the same time, except on certain occasions by permission. It's a bit like switching on the light. The darkness just can't exist in the same place as light. So we can't, as unrighteous people, or anything unrighteous, actually just can't exist in the same place as righteousness. It's like switching on the light. Unrighteousness is expelled from the presence of righteousness. And that's really our problem. Our problem is our unrighteousness. And we cannot come into the presence of the righteousness, of the righteous one carrying unrighteousness. Righteousness is, well, I guess it's the quality of being right in God's eyes. And there are kind of four areas of righteousness. It covers our character. It covers our conscience or our attitude. It covers our actions, our conduct. And it covers our words, the words that we speak. So if the problem is unrighteousness, then, is unrighteousness, how do we become righteous?
Through Christ.
Through Christ. Let me show you this. So in this world, you know, there are laws. We're punished if we do the wrong thing, and we're kind of commended if we do the right thing. And so there's a carrot and there's a stick, and people kind of do the right thing mostly. And it can be warped a little bit, but in general, you know, everybody's encouraged to do the right thing, and it sort of works. The problem is that we try and bring that, draw that into our spiritual life. And we think, okay, there's a set of rules, and if we follow the rules, then we'll be good. You know, there's a carrot and there's a stick, and it should kind of work. And I guess helpfully, God gave 10 commandments to Israel, and then he gave a whole bunch of books in addition to the 10 commandments, and it was kind of, if you follow those things, in Israel's mind, you were all good. And then even more helpfully, Jesus streamlined the whole thing into 2 commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. The problem is we can't do it. We can't get it right. And even if we could get it right from now onwards, what happens to all that stuff that we, all the previous period we were working it right? It's not like that can suddenly be ignored.
True.
We still committed sin there. So just because we're doing right now, just because you know, if you pay a fine because you speeded, doesn't mean that you didn't speed. It just means that you paid the penalty. So what happens then to all of the other stuff? In fact, it turns out that following laws can't save you, can't put you right. But it can show you your need for a savior. In Hebrews 10, the writer of Hebrews says, the law, so this is talking about the Levitical law, the 10 commandments and the couple of books, the law can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? The sacrifices would have finished because they would have been perfected. Because the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are actually an annual reminder of sin. It's impossible for the blood of bulls votes to take away sins. This is the God-instituted laws, and God says it's impossible for those sacrifices, for by it's impossible, even if you follow those laws, for that to be, for the sin to be taken away. It's not only Levitical law, that was Hebrews 10:1. Romans 10:1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. That's essentially the same as us. We try and establish our own code of righteousness, our own rules, and we hope that God will comply by those rules. You know, I bought some food for someone, so that's a good thing. So maybe that cancels out some of the bad things I've done. You know, I looked after the granny, or I, you know, did some really good things. Orphan children, or I paid my tithe. So maybe that cancels out some of the bad stuff I've done. Back into that law. So we've set up a set of it's almost an idol, a god in our head. If I do these things, then I'll be all right, because I've kind of paid the price. But if God says that following rules is not going to make us righteous, even the rules that He has set, how do we become righteous? Let's have a look in Genesis 15. So a bit of background here. Abraham and Sarah, very wealthy. Camels, cattle, heaps of cattle. Goats, the whole works. There's gold, lots of gold and silver. They've got servants and they've got slaves and they've got, well, they've got family hanging around, which is probably what you get when you're that wealthy as well. But they've got just lots and lots of money. But the problem is, we're getting close to that key scripture now. The problem is that, well, let's read it in Genesis 15:1. After this, so that's after Sodom and Gomorrah. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, and he said, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward." And Abraham said to him, "Yeah, that's great, Lord. But the problem is, I don't have an heir. I don't have a son. And someone else is going to inherit my family, my wealth, my everything." God answers Abraham and says, "This man, Eliezer, won't be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." And he takes Abraham out and says, it's at night, and he says, "Look at the stars in the sky, and if you can, count them, because that is what your offspring is going to be like." So we've been talking about sin and unrighteousness, and sin causing unrighteousness, and unrighteousness can't exist in the presence of righteousness, and following laws can't make you righteous. And we've got the story with Abraham and Sarah. God takes Abraham outside and says, "This is what your offspring are going to be like." And Genesis 15, verse 6, and this is the key scripture. You got it up there? Abraham, God said something, and it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to Abraham as righteousness." It wasn't righteousness. It wasn't sinlessness, but God said, That is as good as righteousness. Your faith, your believing in what I said, is as good as righteousness. I will count that as righteousness. To be fair, Abraham did stumble a couple of times after that, and of course a couple of times before that. But that action, that faith that Abraham exerted when God promised him something and he accepted it, God said, whatever you've done after that, whatever you do after that, whatever you've done before that, is covered by your faith, which is accounted to you as righteousness. Yeah?
Yeah.
See that? Romans 4:13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. The covenant of circumcision came later. But through the righteousness that comes by faith. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, and yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. He believed that God, he looked at the situation and he believed that God still had the power to do what he had promised. And that is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. And so it's the same for us. And that is why Abraham is the father of the faith. Romans 3:21. Now apart from the law, righteousness, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So what is the process then? God said something to Abraham, confronted Abraham with a choice. Abraham could look at the situation, the physical situation, the reality, if you like, and he could look at God's promise, and he was confronted with two options. He could reject what God said, or he could accept it. He could dismiss it as unbelievable, or he could believe. But against all hope, Abraham believed. He faced the fact that his body was basically dead, and Sarah's as well, and chose to believe. Despite the physical reality, despite the environment that he was in, he chose to believe. Why would he do that? Well, we've just read previously that he believed that God was able, but also Hebrews 11:11. He regarded the one that had given the promise to be trustworthy. So Abraham looked at the situation. He heard what God said, and he said, "For promise, God is able and he is trustworthy." and I will believe. And that is the instant he made that decision, the second he said, I believe you, Lord, and I will choose the promise instead of the situation. That instant, God said, that is as good as righteousness. That faith is as good as righteousness. And he was saved. Romans 9:30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? But the people of Israel who pursued the law as a way of righteousness didn't obtain it. Shocking. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, Israel, but as it were, by works. How different is that from many of us? We try and establish these laws and these rules that we feel comfortable following, and we hope that in some way it will let us off the hook. The balance of good and bad in our lives will be balanced in favor of admission into God's presence. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with a response to what God says. How are we doing for time? Getting there. Romans 1:17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness that is by faith from first to last, as it was written, the righteous will live by faith. Consequently, Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So in our context, righteousness is dictated by our response to God's word, just as Abraham's response was. Not only what the Father has said to us about Christ, but also what Christ has said about himself, and also what the Holy Spirit has said to you and me about Christ.
Very good.
That is going to be the judge, the balance, if you like, the scales, if you like. It's not what we do, it's our response to what God's word is, what he has said. So where are you guys today? Where are we all today? I'm going to just try and come into man here a little bit. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Romans 10:6 says, but the righteousness that is by faith says, the word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart. So this is the word. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. With your heart, not your head. It's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess the faith. Profess your faith and are saved. So, it's a call to all of us this morning. Will we weigh up our options like Abraham did and decide to take God at his word? But remember, faith's not only about salvation, it's about everyday life. What about those situations that we face at home? We're called to be a people of faith. Remember, earlier we talked about, you know, the people in Hebrews 11, we walk by faith, the Spirit works miracles amongst us by faith, we're commended for faith. We understand by faith. What are those challenges that we're facing that we don't understand? What is the answer? Where do you want me to go here, Lord? How do we confront this thing, Lord? Whatever this thing is.
We understand by faith. We please God with, with faith. We go by faith. We overcome whatever the situation is by faith. We see into the future by faith. So what about the situation you're facing at school? Maybe at work, health, money, business? What do you know about God's character like Abraham? Is he able? Do you know that he's able? Do you know that he's trustworthy? Not what you think, but what Scripture says. What has God said to you about the situation through Scripture, through the written word, through prophecy? And if he hasn't said anything, it's time to go and find out. Time to spend some time with him. If he has said something, and I'm talking to myself as well this morning, will we weigh the situation, the physical situation, works, health or whatever, and weigh God's word, and will we choose to believe, despite as Abraham did, despite the situation, choose to believe the one that is trustworthy and able? Because that is faith, and that is what counts as righteousness. Maybe we could just stand for a moment and those that are able. I want to pray for maybe two sets of people this morning. One is for those that haven't received Christ as a Savior, as their Savior before, or maybe feel you've fallen away and want to come back. I want to pray for those folks, and then I want to pray for folks, and maybe, you know, both. Some people may want to pray both times, that's good. Pray for people who, you know, there's some situation that they're facing that they need to overcome. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Maybe just close your eyes. And those who have never accepted Christ as your Savior, just, and maybe all of us, let's all of us just pray this prayer. It's good for all of us to recommit our faith occasionally. So just pray as a repeat after me kind of thing. Father God, I acknowledge that I fall short of your glory. Because I have sinned. And I'm really sorry for that. This morning I abandon my own attempts to reach you. I acknowledge that no one comes to you except by Jesus. And so while I may not have it all sorted out in my head,
In faith, I believe in my heart
that you raised Jesus from the dead.
That you raised Jesus from the dead.
And I declare that Jesus is Lord. Father, we bless you. We extol you. We lift you up. Give you glory and honor this morning. We bless you. King of kings. If anyone prayed that for the first time this morning or a recommitment, I'd really like to say hi afterwards. If you could just come and say hi to me, that would be appreciated. Second group of people, which probably counts for many of us. If you want to be counted amongst those in Hebrews 11, I realize that not many of us are going to put our hands up for living in a hole in the ground. But maybe
maybe there's a situation you're facing, maybe there's something going on, maybe you just want to say, Lord, I'm up for the next step, lead me into the next thing that you've got for me. Then just, I'm going to pray something, maybe make some kind of acknowledgement, you know, put your hand up or take a step forward, put your hand in your heart, make some acknowledgement that you, to God, it's not about me, to God that you, you know, that you're serious about this thing. And maybe agree kind of with what I'm saying as I pray this. Father, like Abraham, we choose now to believe that not only are you able to take us through the situation, not only are you able to help us take the next step forward or lead us in the next step forward, not only are you able to walk me through this, but I trust you to do so. So I hand the situation to you now, or situations that I'm facing now, and I commit now to continue to seek you and to find your way in this and hear your voice in this thing. Will you move in power amongst your people, Father? Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us. Will you bring revelation? Will you bring miracles? Will you bring understanding and insight? You raise, Holy Spirit, will you raise the level of faith in the hearts of your people in this place?
Yes, Lord.
Will you call them into new things, into greater depths of your presence, greater depths of knowledge of you, Father? Father, have your way amongst us. Wow, really great to hear the gospel, the aspect of faith of the gospel so clearly articulated, to remind